Welcome to the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show, presented by Hugh Hattrick. Drive fast and try not to crash.
Woo!
We're live and we're ready. Welcome to the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show with me, Hugh Hattrick, and my very special guest, Andrew Marr.
Hello!
It's good to see you, Andrew. And today we are going to talk F1, just like what it says at the top of the screen. Right. But we're going to do it in two short broadcasts, two probably 15 to 20 minute segments. So we've got lots of things to talk about. We've been carefully kind of looking at the Formula One headlines, and I think we've got plenty of things to keep our viewers and listeners occupied. So will we get started?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, as to say, before we even start, tomorrow's a big one as well, because we are doing lots and lots of shows. I thought I'll start the year with a bang and get things off to a good start. Of course, we had David Perrell a couple of weeks ago, but tomorrow we have Josh Martin. Now, I don't know about you, Andrew, but how would you like to be able to travel around the world with the Formula One Brigade and set up all their esports and sim driving, sim racing competitions?
You had it sold to me on the travel around the world with the F1.
And you're less than 30
I'd
years
sweep,
old.
I'd sweep the path. Yeah, there's a broom. You're right, Andrew. I'll be there again.
Tomorrow,
I had a pair of these to stop myself in death.
Tomorrow we have Josh Martin, who does exactly that. Who's a very good esports driver himself, has a career of esports racing, and works for a major events company, and they have the contract for Formula One esports around the world. So they go all over Europe and all over the place, to Monaco and all sorts of amazing, glamorous places, and they do Formula One esports world championships. So all the best drivers from the Formula One game, they get to compete, and they race together in these incredible locations. I mean, the setup looks absolutely amazing. It's like the best kind of TV show. You know, it's like Top Gear Live or something like that, you know, with all these sim racing, sim rigs and big screens. And they have commentators from all over the world coming in to commentate on it. So it's incredible. And they're doing more to make esports link in with Formula One. So like the Formula One esports drivers will maybe compete at the same time as a Formula One race. You know, if you're actually attending the race, you can watch them live. And they're doing much more to try and integrate it so that people will be almost running the same race.
You effectively get a free race session in the weekend, because they've got these are high spec racing sims.
Yeah, they're probably $4,000 or $5,000 a piece. I mean, it does look amazing. The sound, the whole thing, they all wear headphones, they even have driving gloves. Not like my old Mansell driving gloves. And they have all of that. And so Josh Martin will be in our virtual studio, tomorrow morning from 10 o'clock. I will put up a reminder on that later on. That will be live tomorrow from 10 o'clock, which I'm really looking forward to. I can't wait to do that as well.
10 a.m.
10 o'clock in the morning, yeah. So you'll have to skive off work if you're going to be watching it on the side. But
I might make it. You never know.
So that should be a lot of fun. We've got a few more in the pipeline as well. A very special guest tomorrow, of course, as well as your good self here tonight.
Yeah. But who could be more special than me? I mean, exactly. Look at your face.
Well, that's the thing. So let's look at one of the main headlines, which I think is a definite headline grabber, which was what Alonso supposedly said about Lewis Hamilton's weaknesses. Now, you have done some analytical work about this, haven't you?
Well, I read it. I typed in F1 News earlier, thinking, let's see what's happening. And it came up with, every single F1 outlet, news outlet, is talking about how Alonso is apparently saying that Lewis Hamilton has a ton of weaknesses and he wants to come back and exploit them and beat him. And then you actually read it and he didn't say that at all. What he said was that he has spotted avenues that the current drivers have not pressured Hamilton in. And there are potential weaknesses there. And he would like the opportunity to see if they are weaknesses and to push Hamilton, you know, in the way that we all want. And, yeah. and frankly, I think Lewis wants as well.
Yeah.
And he's planning, he's always said that the door's open for him to come back to Formula One. He's not done with Formula One, but he won't come back to being a team going around at the back, making interesting comments over the radio to McLaren, saying that if they were pedalling, they'd be going engine. Faster. I'm surprised because Alonso's that kind of guy that he hasn't put a bicycle sticker on the side, you know, saying pedal power only. But he says he's only going to come back if he's in a car that can win.
That's kind of what Mansell did, wasn't it? I mean, Mansell said he would only come back if he had a proper chance at getting the title. And he got him for Williams, didn't they? And it worked.
Frankly, of the older drivers, Alonso is the only one I think that can challenge Lewis. And we saw it that first season. Love or loathe Lewis Hamilton, that first season, I was so excited that the action that went on in the pits, behind the scenes, on the racetrack between those two drivers was immense. I mean, parking across, getting in each other's way, fighting on the track, and they were a point apart at the end.
Yeah, because Hamilton beat him by 1 point. That must have been so sore in your first year. You know,
as good as Raikkonen is, and as much as I love Kimi, you know, the chipmunk, as I used to call him back in those days. There's no way he deserved that world championship, because the only reason he won it is because Lewis and Alonso, Fernando, kept taking each other off or out fighting for the points.
Yeah. Of course, Lewis went off in China with the bad tyres, didn't he? And
was it three or four races from the end, he would have been world champion.
If he'd finished in China, he would have won in that. So
he had to come third or above.
Yeah.
I mean, I was gutted. I was rooting for Lewis. I remember Jackie Stewart. I think I've said this to you privately. Yeah. Jackie Stewart was doing a lot more interviews in those days, and he was saying that if, as Jackie always does, because he's a real tactician as well as a super fast driver and a brilliant.
Yeah.
He has a real feel for the car and understands why he goes fast, which is one of the reasons why I love the guy so much. He's such an amazing racing driver. He was saying that if Lewis can get over this need to win every single race and be a little bit more intelligent about his racing, he'll be a world champion like that. And Jackie was as gutted as I was that Lewis didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have loved Lewis to have been the first rookie world champion because he was fast and he was fun.
He deserved it. I mean, he did everything he could, you know. And I remember that race in the first year at Fuji in those horrific conditions in 2007 when he won that race, and he couldn't even see what was in front. They were spinning. Alonso smashed up. He had a huge shunt. Kubica, was it one of them, crashed into it? He had a collision with Kubica.
Where he ended up upside down going down the...
I think, with Kubica, I think. Was it Vettel and Webber took themselves off. There was so many crashes. Maybe that was a year later, but I thought it was that one. Somebody smacked into Hamilton, and they both spun, but he kept going. He was able to get going.
Yes,
again. And I remember Martin Brundle saying,
"Was it Fisichella?"
Oh, I don't know.
I've got.
It could be. It could have been. Maybe some of our viewers might be able to tell us. I remember that because when Martin Brundle was commentating, and he said, if Lewis wins the world championship, it'll be worth it for this race alone. He said he's won it because of this race. Yeah. You know, it's been a champion's drive kind of thing.
But see, that first year, all these people that keep talking about how Lewis is only winning because he's got no one to fight against, you know, that Valtteri's not up to standard and all this kind of stuff. This first year in Formula One is up against one of the finest racing drivers that we've seen. Fernando Alonso is a hell of a driver.
Oh, yeah. Double world champion.
The reason why he's not won more championships is because he's made some daft decisions and he's a handful in a team.
Yeah.
Just look at every team he's been. He's matured a bit now, you know, and he's calmed down a bit and he's stopped being such a difficult team member.
Yeah.
That's why if he was in a half decent car, he can beat people in much quicker machinery. Fernando,
yeah,
And Lewis beat him and nearly won the world championship.
Fernando
Alonso and Kimi Raikkonen, and all, you know, I'm sorry, but Lewis is as good as they say he is. He is good. He's got, I think he has got weaknesses. I think that his weaknesses he showed in those first few two seasons, that propensity to desperately want to go 110% on every single corner and every single straight instead of nursing the car home, which is what JYS always used to do. You know, you get it. You want to win by the smallest amount so that you're keeping the car together and all that kind of stuff. But the thing that's impressed me about Lewis for so long now is that he has learnt and he has changed. And all these things that he used to do that were a little bit silly, he doesn't do anymore, which is why he's so consistent. Even when things aren't going well, he's still right up there in the points.
Yeah.
He never gives up. He's still fight. He still wants to win. He loves the battles and he's doing that, he's still looking after his tyres better than anybody else, apart from Perez, who's just an alien. You know.
I'm sure if we were monetized, we might be demonetized with that comment. But it was the one. But no, it's interesting, isn't it? Because he reminds me a little bit of the kind of Mansell era, where you know there was this incredible. He would always do well at the British Grand Prix, and I mean, you know, Lewis has done fantastically well there. Done some great victories, and I mean, it makes it amazing because if you go to the Grand Prix and Lewis is there, you've got a good chance he might win it, and the atmosphere is just absolutely electric. I mean, I remember when he won, was it 2008, his first win at Silverstone in the wet, and that was an incredible race. Everyone else was spinning off, and even he spun, but he made it to the end.
But he got there.
And it was incredible. You know, it was, you know, those are the kind of races that you kind of think they'll go down in history again. Like when Mansell overtook Piquet at Silverstone, you know, and did that incredible dummy move, you kind of feel there's still a lot to go. And it's not quite Hamilton mania, but it used to be Mansell mania, with Murray Walker going through the roof, you know, trying to keep up. And you know, and it says, and there's people, because I remember when Mansell won, was it 91 or 92? Well, I know he won those both years. And when he stopped, everyone was trying to get in the car. You know, they were trying to take bits off the car and everything. And he was told to keep going. Because if his car wasn't 100% when it got into the pits, it would be disqualified. So he was telling people to stay away because otherwise, and he ran somebody over. He ran a fan over, and he joked saying they didn't seem to mind afterwards, even though they ran over by Nige. Like,
imagine if it had been had Facebook in those days, there'd be this photograph of him with a cast. I remember my Nigel. I broke my leg. Thank you very much. I'll never get it set.
Exactly.
I'll never wash the face again after a kiss, but I'll never get my. Yeah, that.
There was that famous one, of course, at Silverstone as well, when Senna sat on the side pod.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. That was an incredible
shot today. I mean, I'm all for safety. I don't want to see anybody killed.
Yeah. Did you see, Alesi did that? I didn't realise, I forgot that Alesi did that. I think it was to Schumacher when he won in Canada and his car broke down, or he ran out of petrol on the last lap. I think Schumacher picked him up.
Yeah, they got a big fine as well, didn't they?
Did he? Oh, I didn't. But it was a great. I loved Joe Alesi. I thought his driving, and when he won in Canada that time, I was just so over the moon when he finally did it. But
I was just going to say that my introduction to when I first started watching in 95, Ferrari was Alesi and Berger.
Yeah.
And they're both such charismatic, the characters, you know, the characters.
Yeah, it was Ferrari. It was Ferrari.
I mean, they were nuts. But I mean, Berger, I love Gerhard Berger. I don't know, what is it with Austrians? You know, Niki Lauda and Gerhard Berger both have got this way of telling you things that's entertaining and straight. You know, if they're gonna swear about something and you're waiting for it. You're waiting for it because it's gonna be good. I really hope that Formula One can regain some of that lack of polish that it used to have.
Yes, and the character of it, because it can seem a bit boring. In terms of the cat, you know, there's not a lot of, I think people, that's why Verstappen is quite refreshing. Because he kind of goes against the grain quite a bit. And he says, you know, you're going to do me for this. But it was always, remember when Lewis did the same, and he made that quite kind of crazy comment of, why are they always at me? Why are the stewards always at me? Is it because I'm black? And yeah, he said that on one of the interviews, and it was, everybody was quite kind of, you know, because they were constantly at him for different ways of different things.
Interesting parallel. I mean, I don't know if you think the same thing between Lewis at the beginning of his career and his overtaking moves and all this kind of stuff, and Max. You know, I actually think that Max is a bit more on the edge with some of his moves than Lewis ever was. Lewis was exciting in the same way, though. They both go for things, and Ricciardo's a similar sort of thing. When there's a gap, they go for it.
Lewis and Ricciardo, especially, always fear. Always, I think, fair. Max is a bit more like Senna in that way. He'll take somebody off if it's touch and go. You know, the old cars would go off because they weren't as solid as the new ones, as the current crop. You know.
Yeah. But it's things like, I mean, Raikkonen's always good for a fight, isn't he? And when because Raikkonen goes for the gaps regardless whether it's Max, he doesn't care. Yeah. I mean, really, he just doesn't care, does he, Kimi? Which is, again, wonderful. That's why the fans love him, because he doesn't care. And when you've got the microphone shoved in your face and they want a quote and he just looks at them and goes, okay.
Yeah, that's right. You missed the national anthem. Martin Brundle, and he said, yes, I was having a shit. You know, and it was like, you know, and it was
human, like, human being, yeah. I love the Finns, they're fantastic. You know? I mean, even the critics of Mika Häkkinen, I loved Mika Häkkinen because he had a serious sense of humor, that guy. But he would have this little twinkle and this little smile would appear and he would come out with something so sharp. I loved him, it was fantastic, you know. We need more of them, but like you say, exactly. Max is exciting. But when Kimi went for gaps, Max would move at the last moment, and he'd move at 180 mile an hour, and it's like, but he wouldn't take the responsibility for it. It was always somebody else's fault, and it's like, come on, you can't move there. I've got no problem with you. What was that race? When Schumacher had come back and he was in the Mercedes team.
Oh, yeah.
And no one could get past him. He wasn't the fastest by a long way. He was good because Schumacher, when he was bad,
was that at Monza? Was that at Monza? Because Hamilton took him on and they were doing all the kind of moves that were always banned. You know, he was weaving across the track more than twice and doing all this stuff. And then eventually Hamilton did get past him.
Did get past him, which again shows how good he is.
Yeah, and but at the end when they interviewed Hamilton, he said, actually, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah,
I thought that was great. I wasn't complaining at his moves, and they were all thinking, oh, it's a ropey move, but actually,
you know, he's done some ropey moves. I mean, Schumacher's known for them, isn't he? And including when and again, this is the thing I love about DC. DC was too much of a gentleman and all this kind of stuff. But all through his career, he changed and he learned and he got better. You know, they'd bang wheels and that kind of stuff, big deal. Okay, fine, get on with it. But in that race, I don't think Schumacher did any dangerous moves at all. He was just put his car in such a masterful place that people could not finish a manoeuvre. They couldn't finish an overtake. They might start it, but they couldn't finish it. And he stayed ahead. That's the kind of level of skill.
Was that in Hungary? I wonder if that was in Hungary.
I can't remember. I've just got in my mind there was one or two races, but one in particular I remember where in that Mercedes in, was it 2013, something like that? 2012, 2013?
I think 2012 was his last year.
Yeah, so I think it was in 2012.
Yeah.
And he just showed that, okay, a bit older, maybe not as fast as he used to be, but he can still race. He can still race. Wow. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Well, in our next session, we will talk about Ferrari. I know it's one of your big points of that you like Ferrari, and there's all sorts of things going on there. They're similarly saying that they might not be in a great position, that they've got issues with their car, and they might have to do two different cars for testing.
What?
Because they've got two different designs, seemingly. But stay on the line. But for all our viewers and listeners who are watching us at the moment, we're going to be back in about 10 minutes with our second stream of the night. So, keep up with us. Come back in 10 minutes, and you can see the second part of the Car Sim and Race Driver Show. part two of our live stream, which is on Facebook and, of course, on YouTube as well. And remember, you can support our show by visiting what's on there, the banner there, shoehattrick.com. If you know anyone who is going to Orlando, you can buy a copy of my guide for just £5.50 or £3.99 on Kindle and iBooks. The £5.50 is for the hardback, the published one, the printed one. And at Cardio Advisor, if you're going, you need to use car rental, click on cardioadvisor.co.uk and you can help the show by using our car rental link. And in turn, you can get a great deal on car rental in 53,000 locations across the globe. Ooh. So there we are. And obviously, there's news as well, because my HughHattrick.com website is being renewed and redone in the next few weeks. So it will be all, it's going to look fantastic. And there'll be lots of new things on that as well for people to have a look at. Excellent. So stay on the line, Andrew. I'll be right back. But you've been listening to part one on the first live stream of the night. It's January the 29th. There's only a couple of months less, 6 weeks to go till the start of the Grand Prix season.
Yeah.
And you're watching the Car Sim and Race Driver Show. If you're heading to Orlando this year, then you need Hattrick's Orlando Holiday Guide. It's packed full of essential and crucial information to make sure you get the best from an Orlando holiday. You can get it on Kindle or iBooks, or have a copy posted out to you for just £5.50, including free delivery to UK residents. Visit hughhattrick.com now for your copy. And enjoy Orlando.